Thank you very much, Pastor. I know it's not easy to give up your pulpit to anyone, especially a layman. And so, but I certainly have enjoyed being here, and it's a beautiful church. I get in some churches that's not beautiful, and so not clean. But I thank God you've done a good job. I'd like to thank God for the members he gave you, because I realize you didn't do all this yourself. And you people have great rewards in heaven who's invested your time, your life, your work here, and your children. And you have a right when you pray to remind God what you did here. And I told him last night, I told him in Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 5, he was a layman that went down and built the walls back around Jerusalem. And he told him when he went down there, he said, God, he was praying, and I think it's 5:16, I'm quoting from memory, but he said, God, other governors before me, they had an expense account, they accepted salary, but I've labored for nothing. I didn't accept any money. Not only that, he said, I fed, I think it's 145 Jews a day from my table, my own table. I paid for it. And then and then the strangers that came by. And then he said this, Lord, write this down. Don't you forget it and record it. And then in chapter 13, I think it is the last chapter, when he left and went back to report to the king, gone several years. I don't think the Bible tells that much. It must have been 10 or 15 because the children of Israel backslid. They quit tithing. And the priests were out in the gardens working, trying to raise themselves something to eat. And he got them back together, made them start tithing, but to put the priests back what God told them to do. Now he said, God brought this down, what I did. And then they let them start marrying the Gentiles, the unsaved. And he got over there of the head, said, look, I'll lay my hand on you. I'll knock your teeth out. You get rid of them. You think your pastor's rough, well, look what a layman did. I spoke in a church not long ago. Why did you lose your first love? And so I got some words back. The pastor didn't like it. He was gone. I said, well, you're not doing anything. Well, they're not coming back on Sunday night. Don't you tell me you love Jesus if you only come Sunday morning. And so they're looking at a man here who got saved in 59. Out missed that many Sundays that I could have been somewhere. Go fishing up in Canada. We take a Bible with us. We have devotions in the morning at 5 o'clock. Then we have breakfast, and then we have somebody to sing two or three songs and hear a sermon. And we have other fishermen who will come into our service there. And I had a sign planted on. We had a little island by ourselves, Fantasy Island Baptist Church. How many remember that program on television? It's Fantasy Island. This is Fantasy Island Baptist Church. And so I always kept trying to put God first. I heard a story about tithing. You talked about tithing a while ago. I'm glad I learned that in my early life. The first Sunday I was taught in Sunday school, I made $15 that week, $150, and I gave $15. I started out that, and then one day I gave $8.7 million, and I've got the check. I'll explain it with that copy if you don't see it. And so I anywhere you were at somewhere, I've been there. I started out working 5 cents a day down in the hills of Kentucky. And so and 5 cents a day up to that that day there, and made it's amazing. All because I learned the tithe. The Bible said, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. I never had any problem. Now, a lot of people have trouble with that. But you ask God to forgive you of your sin. How many ask God to save you, Jesus to save you? How many have been saved? All right, now, if he saved you, if you'll tithe, he said, bring all the tithes in the storehouse and prove me. If I not open the winds of heaven, pour you out a blessing, shall it be received. You've got a right to claim that too. I told the pastor them, yes. When you're tithing, if you got a sick child, and you get on your knees and say, dear God, we don't have, we're going to take a child, the fever don't go down, we're going to take it to the doctor. We don't have $50 to give that doctor. We just ride on a tight budget, barely meeting our bills. But if the baby's still sick, you got that fever in the morning, well, we'll take it. But God, we'll ask you tonight. Now, God, we're tithing. You have a right? Tell God that. Here's what you said. And God, you said this. And right. But about, they're talking about tithing. I heard a story once that illustrates this, that a lady had her baby in the church, and about the middle of the pastor's sermon, the baby started crying. She got up and took the baby out. After the service, she comes to the pastor and apologized. I'm sorry, my baby started crying and disrupted the service, and said, but my baby is teething. And when I saw your husband start crying, what's he done? He started tithing. He started tithing today. And so the husband was crying because he put his money in. I'll tell that over. Some of you didn't get it. She said, my baby is teething. started crying. I saw your husband start crying. What happened to him? He started tithing today. Get it? I'm glad that I learned that lesson long ago. I'd like to ask you this. How many have unsaved loved ones? Mama, daddy, cousins, brothers? Well, tonight, the last 67 times I witnessed to someone, a time to go to heaven, 63 of them have bowed their head and asked Christ to save them. I'm going to teach that tonight. I'm going to win your prize. I let the Holy Spirit, don't change your mind. I'm going to win your pastor to Christ tonight. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's revolutionary. Something that the Holy Spirit gave me. And so it attract. And so come tonight. Now, when I got saved, I wasn't a Christian, the entire family. And my mother, aunts, uncles, two or three of them were alcoholics. Aunt cursed like a sailor. We grew up in that filth back in Kentucky. The gospel wasn't taught. And I didn't know him. We didn't know him better. And so when I got saved, within 6 weeks, I saw my aunts, my uncles, I saw my brother, my sisters. I've got a brother in heaven right now. I've got a sister in heaven right now. I've got a mama in heaven because I wanted her to cry. I just kept going to her. The Bible says, Psalm 126:6, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again rejoicing. Weeping. Do you love your loved ones enough to weep over them? But I cried before my wife, before my mother got saved. I mean, I didn't know any scripture, Pastor, but I knew how to cry. I walked down all night, to my back all night. My wife would go on and go to bed, take my mother to the revival. She knew all night tonight. I know how to cry and beg God to save her. I didn't want to see her go to hell. Now, I'd like to and I'll teach you that tonight. I'm here to try to help you at that, and I hope you will come tonight and learn that. And so, what I said, I have a tract that I bought here. That's what I'll explain, that I bought the copyright to it. And so here's what happened in West Virginia. I speak a lot to some people. My dad's from West Virginia. I spoke in Huntington a few months ago. I flew in from Hawaii to there. I live in Hawaii until about May the 1st. When the snow starts in Michigan, I leave, it melts. And I made enough money, but you imagine getting snow away from 457 housing apartments and the responsibility, and everybody wants to be first. And so I'd hope so I did that. I paid my dues. In 1999, I started to get out of the business world and started getting rid of the real estate and giving it all back to God. I prayed that 65. I didn't know God let me live to be 85, 87, going to 87 now. And so, but here's my pay. I was talking in West Virginia, by the way. Oh, yeah. And then they rented a 4-H camp on Monday night, brought those churches in. And we have some churches now back in the South. They've had another this year, and I got a call this week from another guy that wants one. I speak on Sunday, and then on Monday night, we have a millionaire's dinner. We eat millionaire's food, cornbread, pinto beans, and banana pudding. And any woman that puts sugar in a cornbread can't come. Who's from West Virginia here? You'll put sugar in your cornbread down there, are you? Cast iron skillet, get it 1,550 degrees. 2 cups of milk and 2 cups of meal and an egg if you want to. I'm bashing now. I've had to learn all that over again. But here's what they said. So they keep me over, and the guy from Ohio said, I heard you there. I want you to come to my church. I want one of those millionaire dinners on Monday night, too. I said, okay. Now, I told the pastor, and I announced it on Sunday. It comes a joke. I said, all women's going to make cornbread. I said, my goal is, if I ever marry again, the first requirement of my wife, she has to be able to make good cornbread. I said, you tell all the women to go make cornbread if they think they're going to be number one to bring a wedding dress tomorrow night, and I'll marry her right there and take her back to Hawaii with me. They had about 6 or 7 kinds of cornbread, and I got up and I said, well, I can't announce the winner tonight. I said, I'm going to have to come back for a runoff next year. That's the way I got out of that. So they called me to that. But here's what I like to say. Here's a Martinsburg, West Virginia. No, here's what he said. Here's why I travel. Dear Dr. Anderson, I do not even know how to begin to thank you for coming to our church. God used you to help our people. Now, that's what I'm here for. See, I'm going to tell you what God did for me, not what I did. I'm going to pray you to use the formula I used, and the pastor already told you. I made millions of dollars on one scripture in Proverbs 8:17. You better listen. I want you to repeat it after me. Can you say, I love them? Say it now. I love them that love me. Boy, that's hard to memorize. And those who seek me early shall find me. He didn't say, seek me after coffee break, after breakfast. He didn't say, seek me after lunch, after supper. He didn't say that. You seek you first. God wants to be the first person. He's a jealous God. Read Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 and 34, 12. If God's name is jealous. He's a jealous God. He don't want you to give him your love to anyone. He wants your first love. That's what I try to beg people to do. Change your life. Change that alarm clock in the morning. I taught in Sunday school. Get up 10 minutes early and pray for your husband going to work. Pray for your children. And pray for husband and wife. And pray for one another. I tell you, this, it's very nice to get fall in love and marry and date a girl and go on a honeymoon. And when the children start, now there's a lot of problems, a lot of adjustments. I'm talking from experience. So we need to pray for one another. And I said in the Sunday school too, husband and wife. Well, of course, you get married, you couldn't quit dating one another. Seven businesses. I hired a babysitter to take care of the children. I took my wife and baby out shopping one night. Sometimes just window shop. Sometimes eat a sandwich. But a woman needs time with a man away from children. She needs to talk to an adult. Keep the love going. Keep dating one another. Keep doing something unusual for one another. And so I love teaching. And everything I've taught, I have tried it myself, but I learned it from other men. Dr. Jack Hiles, Dr. John, Dr. Wright. I've always studied after men who did something for God. That most of the books written today about Christianity and how to do it and how to build a church is not fit to loot. I wouldn't let my dog sleep on them. Get somebody like Dr. Jack Hiles, Dr. John Rice, Dr. Tom Malone, Dr. Ray Robinson, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Study after men who did something for God and then just do what they did. Because if you'll do what they did, then God's obligated to do for us what he did for them. Does that make sense? Dear doctor, I don't even know to thank you for coming to our church. God used you to help our people. They were challenged, excited, and God used you to grow them spiritually. Now, that's my payday. I pay my own way of where I'm going. I pay the motel, and I'm glad they do that. Most people can't do that. But God's let me make quite a bit of money. And I give $75,000 away in missions this week. I'm very much in missions. Kevin Wynn and Rick Martin. Rick Martin, I built over 1,200 churches for him. I got a letter from there, and he's seen over six soul winners. I paid to go soul winner, knocking on doors, $1 an hour, and won over $6 million souls. And that's not my count, that's his count. I had one preacher tell me one time, Pastor, said, you answer to God for those figures. No, I won't. I don't do the counting. I just do the paying. I send you money there. And again, he said, again, thank you for being used of God. My people had a greater desire to walk with God. Now, if I can just get one or two men in here, I'll make a prescription. A prediction. Give me one or two men in this church and let them follow me and let them make me train them and go out and knock on doors, and this church will be full a little over a year. I know I've helped start too many churches and I know what I'm talking about. But there's a price to pay for that. There's a price to pay to get God's blessings. Look what it costs. Look at Joseph. You know his testimony. Go to God was with his prophets and family. They tried every way in the world to get. Thank God, he was in prison for 12 years because he wasn't sin with a man's wife, and they lied on him. They put him in prison for 12 years, but he ended up being a prime minister. He got a promotion. Ended up in the palace. Took 12. But there's a price. You don't sow corn and beans today and go out next day and pick them. You got to cultivate them and water them. Same thing with our life. So I'm praying that somehow or another, if I can just get one or two men, and get some men to catch it. And I've tried what I've done. I've tried, and it's worked. Very few men can stand and face you that money hurts more than it helps. Let me tell you the most expensive meal I ever paid for in my life. I always take the pastor's family out when I go out, and I love to get the pastor's wife out of the kitchen and go out and out of the kitchen when I'm going, I gladly do that. And so pay that. But I take men and I know that I've trained them for what can do. I want you to turn your Bible to Luke. In the next few minutes, I want to teach you something. You know why most church and most Christians are not winning souls today? Because the church has failed to teach you the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. That's what Dr. Jack Hiles taught. I learned it. I had to leave my church to get it done. First of all, let me tell you, you can't win anybody to Christ. It's impossible for you to win anybody to Christ. If you get them to pray, you think you got, they've become your converts. No conviction, no, they're not saved. No, No conversion. That's the word I was looking for. No conviction, no conversion. Now, I'm going to teach you something this morning. The title of my message is this: Holy Spirit, if you teach me what you taught Jesus, then I can do what Jesus did. Now, you think that title's there? That's pretty strong. God gave me that. I didn't get it out of any commentary. Oh, I studied commentaries all the time. I've got all Dr. Rice's, Dr. Howe. If I was a preacher boy, I wanted to get my life to count to God, I'd just get Dr. Howe's, what Dr. Howe's book wrote, and Dr. Rice and a few Moody's, Torrey and Finney. I studied after men. It did something, turned this world upside down. And so I study after some men that has done something. That's what I done. Now, listen to that title now. Holy Spirit, if you do for me what you did for Jesus, then I can do what Jesus did. Now, let me take the title. I'm going to skip a lot of it. In Luke chapter 1, the angel came to Mary and said, Mary, you want to have a baby? She said, I've never known a man. How can I? He said, the Holy Spirit's going to conceive in your womb, and you're going to, and his name is going to be called Jesus. I'm going to skip a lot of this here because of the time. We don't know what Jesus we did for the first when he's up to 12 years old. We don't know. We know what he did, how he was in the temple and went, when his mom and dad went a day or two without him and come back and found him. We know that he studied the scripture. See, when Jesus was born, he left all his glory in heaven. He came as a man, as like you and I. And so he had to study the scriptures to know them, and that God used him, and it's impossible for God to use you and I if we don't know the scriptures. It's impossible to get to know technology on a computer if you don't first get the book and read it. Now, I had 7 businesses, and I had to get rent from 157 people a month. Every month, I tried to get that. I bought me a computer, and every time I'd get just some type in there, I'd hit the wrong button and delete it. I did not have time to come. So I don't know anything about computers or technology. Now, a lot of these girls, I see boys and girls on airlines, 5, 6 years old, playing those computers. They know more about. I told my girls, I said, yeah, I sent you to college. They kid me about don't have no technology, and then I didn't send you to college. And I said, you got knowledge. You got a technology. You got a mind of technology. I went to the Bible and got to God's mind. Now, who bought your houses and cars? Are your technology mind or God's mind? See, my daughters know more about technology than I do, but I know more about God than they do. You understand that, don't you? So we need to understand God. Now, I'm going to try to provoke you. I may even say something to make you mad. I'm going to tell you that. I'll tell you this right now. Don't you ask God next week to let you drive a Cadillac and Lamborghini and that if you don't come back and love him enough tonight. You want to raise and something on the job, you don't love him enough to come back tonight. Now, there's a price to pay to follow Christ today. Talked to a missionary a while ago. He said, that's the price he's paid and where he goes. There's a price. But Holy Spirit, you see, then when Mary said Jesus in the teaching there, and then we don't know anything much about Jesus, not anything said to him from 12 until he gets... About 30 years, until he's 30 years old. Look at Luke chapter 3, verse 23. I'll start there. I laid the groundwork. Luke 3, we know he was a virgin birth, and it was that. Chapter 3, verse, 322. And the Holy Ghost descended on him. Oh, this was when he was baptized. What's that? Well, I'll start there then, verse 3. On John chapter 3, verse 16. Luke 3. Did I say John? Luke. I'm in Luke. You Luke? I don't. Luke 3, 16. John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I come after the latch of those whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Here's John talking to a people who's already saved. And I will baptize him. Who's finished? It says up here, and John was baptizing. Now, verse 21, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also had been baptized, and praying the heaven was open. And the Holy Ghost descended from body shape and like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I tell God all the time, every morning I pray, God, show the world what you can do to an old man. God, what can I, Holy Spirit, tell me what I can do to please God more. I want God to use me more. He's well pleased. And Jesus himself, being about 30 years of age, he was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, the son of Matthew, John, and just said, let me see my notes here, 16, 17, 18 years had passed. 321:22, Jesus baptized. 321, it says, now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also been baptized. Yeah, there he was. He baptized. And praying, the heavenly was open. And the Holy Ghost descended on him in a body shaped like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, and thee am I well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, and so as I had already read, and so here, 30-year-old, little is known about Jesus. From the time he was 12 years old, here he was 18 years. May I say, listen to this now, the first 30 years of Jesus' life, he studied the Scripture. He never preached a sermon. He never performed a miracle. He never healed anyone. Jesus was a soul winner, but John chapter 4, the woman at the well, and Jesus never raised anyone from the dead. But Ephesians 5, verse 18 said, Be ye not drunk with wine and wherein excess. It's wrong for you, Christian, to get drunk with wine. It's just wrong, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus didn't do any of that until he was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I've laid the groundwork for it. That's why I can say, Jesus, Holy Spirit, if you teach me what you taught Jesus, then I can do many things that Jesus did. I have to do it in God's power and not in my power. See, it says the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove and said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, whom I am well pleased. And Acts, now here's the thing about that. I'm going to put a little scripture back on the statement I said. If you'll do for me what you did for Jesus, Holy Spirit, I can do what he do. Now, Acts 10:38, I'm not going to turn there because of time. I'm going to read it to you. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Who did God anoint? Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. The reason why Christians don't have, win souls, they don't have any power. They don't know the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. 1 John 2:26 tells about his first miracle when he turns the water into wine at the wedding. John 2:11 then began of the miracles that Jesus did and came to Galilee. Note what happened to his baptism. Verse 22, and the Holy Ghost descended in him like a body shape and a dove upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I want you to look at Luke chapter 4, verse 1. How Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, now listen, full of the Holy Ghost, and the best example I can export to you is Dr. Jack Howells, the reason why God used him. He was baptized, he was filled, he had God's power upon his life. I ran with the man for years, been with him on cruises, vacations, been with him in battles, he and Dr. Rice. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. But when they were ended, he afterward conquered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus answered and said, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee and the glory of them. You know what the devil offered Jesus there? He said, If you serve me, he said here, I'll give thee the glory of them, for it is delivered to me whom there. Yeah, I'll give you all the glory. I'll give you all my glory. And what he offered Jesus, young people, he offers you. You sell out to me. He offers you and I. Our own victory is the word of God. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharp and two-edged sword. Thou through thy commandments, David says, has made me wiser than my enemies. Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day long. That's why God uses it. And then, therefore, verse 7, it says, Therefore, if thou wilt worship me, Jesus said to him, Get thee behind me, Satan. And this is verse, let me put some teeth there. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle. And I've been there, saw the pinnacle. And said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up any time. Thou dashed thy foot against a stone, and Jesus answered and said to him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed him for a season. That was the devil's trick, trying to get Jesus off the cross. But the devil knew if he died on the cross, mind your sins, we could through him go to heaven. He's trying to stop it. And he left him for a season. Now let me tell you why Jesus defeated, he knew the word of God. He said, You notice Jesus quoted scripture to him, and that's what you all can do too. You can quote scripture. You need to, that's why that gets back to studying the Word of God. That's why you rise early in the morning. You don't know the temptations and the things that God, the old devil's put in my eyes, in front of my eyes. I was standing, I didn't, not know my notes, I was standing like this reading something about health food to some woman like this, and she rubbed herself on my arm and reached up and kissed me on the back of the neck. I didn't, you know what told you? He turned, made a left turn, left her standing there. I'd been with God that morning. I knew the Scripture, you see. The Holy Spirit of God, because I knew the Scripture, I left her alone. And so there's others. I don't know, but thou through thy women, Jesus defeated Satan by knowing Scripture. That's important to memorize the Scripture, knowing Scripture. That's why I try to encourage Christians to start getting up early in the morning. Just 5 minutes. Husband, wife, have some or another pray. You need to have some. The children needs to see that you pray. The children needs to know how to pray. You need to teach it to them. Let me get off here and wait on that. You couldn't give me $100,000 to let me have more of my daughters go out of the car alone with a boy at night. You couldn't give me $100,000. My girls didn't do it either. I'm responsible. God's going to hold me responsible for my children. I'm responsible for them. And so I taught. But then again, Jesus, everything he did, see, he did it after he was baptized with the Holy Spirit of God. And so like a body of faith. Now here he tried to get Jesus in. He left him for a season. And listen here, because Russell Anderson got victory over that one temptation, that one trial, is I can't crow about it. The God helped me. I knew the Scripture. Wherefore him that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. David wasn't looking for a date when he ran into Bathsheba that night, and Bathsheba wasn't looking for a date. That's how strong the devil is. We need to know the Word of God. He left him for a season. He come back to him. You remember when Jesus went on the cross and went around and kidding him and said, if you be the Son of Man, why don't you get yourself on the cross? See, the devil came back. You may get victory today. It's not over some sin or some temptation, but I ask God all the time, God, deliver me from my temptations. My temptations. I want to quote the Word of God. You've got to know the Word of God. You've got to study the Word of God. Now, 1 Peter 2:21, I'm going to read something else to you because of time I'll not ask you to turn there. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were ye called, but Christ also suffered for us, leaving us, that includes you and I, as an example that we should follow in Jesus' footsteps. In order to follow in his footsteps, we need to know the Scripture. We need to know the Scripture where that we can quote it. We need to know what God said. Now, I can do what Jesus can, a lot of things Jesus. Jesus fed the poor. Do you know how to get the blessings of God upon your life? You know, I feed 4,000 people a day. And that. Do you know nobody in my church has to go to bed hungry? You know, I give the widows money all the time. The Bible says, he that giveth to the poor lendeth unto God. You lend money to God. You find somebody poor. You help them out. I try to do it now, and honestly. What I do a lot of times, I give somebody else to give it to them. One guy sent several hundred dollars to one every month. I send one of them. I had my brother-in-law in Ann Arbor, Michigan to mail it. I'd be in Hawaii. I put the cash in there. Every month, you mail this. God is pleased with how you're handling your life. God is pleased how you're living your Christian life. You're a good example for people to follow. Therefore, God told me to send this to you. I try to do it uncovered. Now, I'll tell you this here. My church don't know what I do. I give it, if I want to help somebody, normally I give it to the pastor. I told this. I'll tell you if you have to do something too. When you do something for one of God's servants, I have to use your pastor as an example here. My pastor, when he brags on somebody that's helping him, I'll try to reward him. I get around and tell him, I say, you did that, you pleased God. He needs a little encouragement. If he preaches a good sermon, you ought to drop him a note and tell him. And I heard the pastor talk about these couples. So here I can do, I can help people. I can help with the money. I called this week. The man and his wife's on vacation, six kids, and I know they don't have much. And so God told me three or four times, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, and to send it. So I called him on the phone. I had his cell number, got his cell number, called him. I don't know how to tell you this, but God told me to tell you spend $200, put it on your Visa bill, and I'll pay it when you get back. Because, unless this, you've been good to my pastor. My pastor brags on what assets you are to. See, God, this is how I like to give. A lot of people ask me for money. They'll send it for a chance to get it. See, if God gives me the wisdom to make it, he also gives me the wisdom where to put it. So when God talks to you like that, you see, I've got a lot of solicitations, pastor. Oh, I found a building here. I'm going to build a building. I'm going to build a church to do this. I need $50,000. Okay, if I turn around and write him a check and send him $50,000, he's going to get it, and he's going to tell all over town, look what Russell Anderson did. He's not going to get it from me. He might write me. He won't get it. But if he gets on his knees and prays and fasts and he pays a price, God laid on my heart, or God laid on somebody's heart to do. So God's got to talk to me to get, but I'm constantly looking for widows or some poor people to buy groceries for. But in so doing, God tells me to do it. Now, if you tight, if a lot of times you just buy a hamburger or a hot dog or just a $2 worth of groceries or something. I heard a story once of a pastor, a man had got saved and some means, and they said, your troubles be all gone. You never have any problem. He went to see the pastor. He said, I'm having all kinds of problems. I'm not satisfied. Why don't you take my name off this church roll? He said, well, I'm busy right now. See these sacks of groceries over here? There's a widow out here in the country, and I give you the address. Take these groceries out there to her. Then come back and we'll talk. When he got up on the porch here, he could see through the screen door a woman on her knees. Dear God, please send me some food. My children's hungry. We have no food. And please, God, send us some food to eat. About that time, he knocked on the door and started handing the groceries in there. And she was so excited and set all the groceries down. And the man started to leave. Oh, wait a minute. She said this man, no, you're going to leave. We're going to thank God. And she got on her knees and said, God, thank thee for sending this godly man to us and sending the groceries. My children have something to eat. God, you answered my prayer. Thank thee for this godly man. He went and got in his car and went back to see his pastor. And he said, Pastor, I don't want to withdraw my church. I found out I'm not doing anything for God. I'm going to start doing something for God. That's where the happiness. Happiness comes in serving others. You know the most expensive meal I ever spent in my life? It was about $2,000. One meal. I went to take a pastor and his wife and three daughters in Kentucky out to a restaurant to buy something to eat. And his wife came out and said, Brother Anderson, I know you like cornbread and pinto beans. I've got a whole pot full of pinto beans there. We don't have to eat out. I got a little vegetable out of the garden. We can go in and eat. That's pinto beans. I said, well, you talked me into it. That's my favorite. You go to my condo in Hawaii, I got pinto beans in there. You go to my condo in Hawaii, where I live, in Michigan, I got pinto beans. If God made anything any better than pinto beans, cornbread, he kept it for himself. So we went and ate that. When I'd ate, every time you put your hand on that table, it'd shake, just like it would fall down, you know, uneven, four uneven. I looked up, I saw tiles and the ceiling come loose. I saw the carpet frail. There's no living room table. I saw the carpet singing, and there needed to get some support and all that, level at the kitchen floor out. And so I had that done. So I told her husband the next day, I want you to go buy her a beautiful 8 chairs, dining room table. It's $1,200 or $1,500. I want you to put the carpet in. I want you to fix that ceiling and paint it and some other things. And so that's why I can say one mess of pinto beans cost me $1,500 to $1,800. But see, I did something that pleased God. So that's what Jesus did. You know, there are very few rich people. God uses poor people to build the churches. See, most men have got money. They think they're better than someone else. And so so they won't do it. So therefore, see, I can do, the Bible says, Proverbs 19, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto God. You give them 10%, but take 1 or 2% and give it to feed the poor. Just try it. Don't let anybody know it. And lend it to the poor. And that which he have given, we pay him again. I bought over 100 buses to bring the poor in, 18 passenger van. I saw some girls coming on the bus and boys. And Sunday night, there's a man had an old van, looked like it's come over on the ocean with Columbus, and they couldn't come back sometimes. The van went and run on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I went to my pastor. I said, God, Pastor, I'll buy them people a new van if nobody else in church can use it. It belongs to the church. It belongs to the poor people, not to the people. I know a lot of people run the gas. I didn't get it dirty. I said, it's gone. Plus, the man's been driving. He parked it at his house. And I did bring it. And I don't have time to tell you some of the poor boys and girls you got there that God led me to help them, to feed them. Yeah, see, then if you, the Holy Spirit, now, if you do for me what you did for Jesus, that is, you fill him with your power. I can do them many things he does. Now, there's Cersei. Jesus said I was in prison, and you visited me. He said, he said I was naked, and you clothed me. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was sick and you visited me. And they said, when did we do that? He said, in that you did it to one of the least of these. I'm constantly, I'll tell you right now, I'll tell the pastor. If you don't have groceries next week, you go tell, don't come down to me. You tell the pastor. And I asked him how much he wants. But I'll buy you groceries. Why? I want God's blessings. Now, if you don't want them, I want them. There's some reason why God had blessed an uneducated coal miner, no education, and ended up with 457 houses. Not even had my own bedroom until I was 27 years old. I had enough bedrooms in 1999, that's 40 years after I got saved. It would have taken me 3 years to sleep in a different bedroom every night. That's what God can do. I serve a great God. And so that. They said, see, then I buy a lid of the poor, 100 buses. And Jesus said, I was hungry and thirsty. He said, when did we do this? He said, in that you did one of the least of these. You look at me, I don't run around rich people. The only thing that holds them together is dough. I'll run, my friends is Christians. My friends is you. If I was running this church, I'm not interested in bank. Bankers just sent two beautiful secretaries. I was one of the largest deposits he had, putting millions of dollars in his bank. And come in my office one day, called and made an appointment. President, we're having a party over here, inviting a lot of people. We want you to come. President of the bank. I did go back and tell the president of the bank, I'm going to prayer meeting tonight. I'm not coming. You get all kinds of solicitations. And so when that you start making some money and they do it, they never did invite me up until when I was poor. So where do you think they want? Yes, we can do. Holy Spirit, if you do what do for me, what you did for you. Here's something from Kevin Nguyen. We wanted to update you on some of the results of your charitable giving. Last year, we had a record of 5,634 Mexican families receiving food baskets you purchased. That's where I sent another 75,000 last week. These baskets contain following: rice, beans, sugar, salt, canned vegetable, tuna, fish, broccoli, chili, oil, and pastry. These baskets were personally handled at each church. Their families averaged 5 per family, so you fed over 28,000 poor people. You wonder why God lets me make money? I tell God all the time, God, if I was changed places with you, I'd let you make money because you're feeding the poor. See, when you do something for God, you can do it. There's more to Christian life than showing up on Sunday morning and sitting and not doing anything for God. And please come tonight. Let me teach you how that you can win your loved ones, keep them out of hell tonight. So I can do. And Jesus said in Matthew 25, in that you've done it to at least one of these, you have done it unto me. And so, yeah, I can do the things. I can buy clothes. I can do Jesus that. He bought food for him. He healed them. I can visit them. I visited a preacher one day this week in St. Joe's Hospital. And so he was sitting there, me and my, University Hospital. And I gave him an envelope. I said, here's you, a little something. My wife may need some money for gas money back home, $200. Eh? Now, nobody in my town don't know that. I'm not saying this to brag. I'm just saying I do as God leads me and tells me to do it. Holy Spirit, if you do, for me, what you did for Jesus. And so, and Holy Spirit, I can teach the people how to be baptized and teach them how to defeat Satan. That's what Jesus did. So, let me ask you this question now. Are you interested in the Holy Spirit teaching you? Come tonight. Let me teach you. God wants to use you. Let me give you a scripture. The Bible doesn't say he's looking for some rich people to say it. 2 Chronicles 69, the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth. You know God can see you right now? You know God can knows what you're doing, what you did last night? Psalm 139, he sees you. God knows what your thoughts are before you ever speak them. Let's read Psalm 139. Eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong and those whose hearts are perfect towards him, mature. Oh, Jesus, I want the Holy Spirit, I want you to do for me what you did for Jesus. Fill me with your power. Dr. Jack Hiles, Dr. John Rice, Moody, Torrey Finney, all teaches this. Our Father, we pray your blessings on what's been said this morning. May we all have a greater desire, even myself, God. I want to walk more closely with you. Holy Spirit, I want you to teach me more and more of what you've been teaching me. Be my teacher.